Buddham Bokshase Yad Vamsha Dharer Mahi Manvantaram Param Ekaikasya Bhavatesham Rajan Arbhudam Arbhudam. Eka ekasya, of each one, abhavat, there became, tesham, of them, rajan, O king, arbudam, 10 million, arbudam, 10 million, bokshase, excuse me, bokshate, is ruled. Yat, whose? Vamshadharai, by descendants. Mahi, the whole world. Mano antaram, up to the end of one manu. Param, and afterward. Translation. My dear King Prachina Barhishat, the sons of Malayadvaj gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan, and even afterwards. Purport. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. A Manvantara, the lifespan of one Manu, is given as 71 multiplied by 20,000 years. After one such Manu passes on, another Manu begins his lifespan. In this way, the life cycle of the universe is going on. As one Manu follows another, the cult of Krishna consciousness is being imparted, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bhavita. The Blessed Lord said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Vivasvan, the sun god, imparted Bhagavad Gita to one Manu, and this Manu imparted it to his son, who imparted it yet another Manu. In this way, the propagation of Krishna consciousness is never stopped. No one should think that this Krishna consciousness movement is a new movement. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very, very old movement, for it has been passing down from one Manu to another. Among Vaishnavas, there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity. But despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all god brothers. And although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting co-jointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and many thousands of Europeans and Americans have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like wildfire. The cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the 9 principles of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Shakyam, Atmanivedanam, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it. The word bhokshase is very important in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. The people of this world are very much harassed by so-called religious principled swamis, yogis, karmis, and jnanis. But none of these can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. There are primarily 4 parties spreading devotional service all over the universe. These are the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and the Nimbarka Sampradaya. The Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in particular comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely and giving protection to innocent people who are being so much harassed by pseudo-avatars, swamis, yogis, and others. So then, here then the broadness of the devotional process is being established. That this Maharaj Prachina Barhishat, he was a karmi. So he was interested in performing all these religious principles so that he could elevate himself to the heavenly planets with the purpose of enjoying himself. And in that process, then we see that he has very much absorbed himself in the materialistic attitude. And because of this materialistic attitude, then he is actually suffering very much. It's a unique thing that the idea of material happiness actually is creating suffering for the living entity. But due to conditioning, he thinks he is enjoying. So here, then, Narad Muni, out of compassion for him, is trying to show him that what his mind is desiring, that actually is not what's going to make him happy. Because it's an interesting thing. His happiness doesn't actually depend upon whether you're happy or not, the situation is pleasant or not. The happiness depends on if your mind gets what it wants. That's all. It's a very straightforward thing. So therefore, it's not necessary that what the mind wants actually has to be something that creates a nice situation. This is the wonderfulness of this material world, is that the mind decides that something is going to make me happy. If I get this, or I'm in this situation, I attain something. By attainment of that, I will be happy. So then, when we attain that thing, at that moment we are happy. Before we attain it, we are looking forward to the attainment. After we've gained it, then we are looking back on how we did attain it in the past. In other words, the living entity is always absorbed in hankering and lamenting, or in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. Very rare are they actually in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means you're in the present. So you're only in the present when you gain that desire that you want. So this is the situation of the materialists. So this hankering, lamenting, these are always putting one in the fire of material existence. So though it appears something nice, actually the process is not. But the living entity, because he doesn't have any alternative in the material world, then something's better than nothing. You have to be inspired. Right? Without inspiration, you don't work. So therefore, some second-rate, tenth-rate desire is good enough. But so Narad Muni has seen, being kind to Maharaj Pachinibarhi Prashad, then comes to him, is trying to awaken him up to the principle of actually, the problem is not your endeavoring, the problem is not your having desires, wanting to be happy, none of this is the problem. The problem is you're following the wrong process. You're thinking you're going to be happy in the heavenly planets. You're happy here, right? You're enjoying here, you have your kingdom, you have your family, you have so much facility, you're happy, and then you're going to be more happy when you go to the heavenly planets. So he's pointing out to him that actually it's not, because there may be a moment of happiness, right? But the waiting expectation of that, and then the contemplation of it in the for as it fades into the past, that is what's great. And this is looking at the upside of it, right? This is looking at the best scenario, right? Is that you're pleasantly looking forward to becoming happy, and you're thinking about how you were happy. This is the best side of the material world. The other side is that the process of becoming happy, the obstacles you have to go overcome, the suffering that has to be gone through, and the suffering of the lamentation that it's gone, or even if you have it, then the reaction that will come by the methods you use to get that happiness. So this is the side that Karmakanda conveniently doesn't discuss. Because if it was discussed, people wouldn't endeavor. Right? So either nothing would happen in the universe, or people would follow sinful activities. Because if you don't have a direction, then the natural thing is just what spontaneously comes into the mind. And what spontaneously comes into the mind, if it is not in line with the scriptures, will be sinful. And then, unfortunately, there'll be suffering. So we can see is that if we add up the whole process of the material endeavor, it doesn't look very good. It's not really giving anything really serious to the living entity. So now Narad Muni is pointing out the downside of his process of karma. And so that was given in his previous lifetime. Now, because of that material absorption, then Puranjana now has then, being absorbed in the material energy, now has taken birth as the as Queen Vidarbhi, and now has been connected to an actual devotee, married to a devotee, Maharaj Malayadvaj. Now we see there's some prosperity, something positive is actually happening for this Prachinabahishat, now in the form of Queen Vidarbhi, is that the devotional process is being introduced. And then the benefits that are going on. So here now Narad Muni is pointing out this is not something new, because the king hasn't heard from his Brahmins anything about this. Either they didn't know about it, or he wasn't interested in it, and they didn't want to say anything for fear of, you know, not pleasing him. Or, you know, they sincerely thought that this was the best path. They actually thought karma was something serious. It would give you something substantial. So then, Narad Muni is pointing out that this path isn't new. Right? It's not just something that's just come by just as he walked in the door, or he's making it up. This is ancient. This has always been there. That Vivasvan is given this to his son gave it to Manu, Manu gives it to the others, it just passes down like this through the kings. And so then the the royal order maintains the propagation of Krishna consciousness in the world. So then Prabhupada's pointing out here is that we can see that continuation now, that the mission of the Lord will go on. It's the mission, the Lord's creation, and the creation is actually meant only for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't have another purpose. It means the living entity wants to do all kinds of other nonsense. That's there. Facility is given. But Krishna is so clever that facility is given in a way that still they're following the laws of God. Like that. The human being is given that opportunity to progress nicely through following the Lord's laws. And we see all other living entities other than humans are exactly following the laws. So basically everyone is following the laws of God in the universe. And then of this, then there are a few, you know, on this particular corner of the universe who are given the chance that they can follow them or not. You know, depending upon do they want to take up spiritual endeavor, or do they want to elevate themselves to the heavenly planets? Do they want to stay here, or do they want to degrade themselves to the animal kingdom? So this process then of Krishna consciousness, this is the purpose. It is what's going on in the universe. It is actually what's sustaining the universe. Sometimes we think, you know, we're a little band of group of persons here in this little corner of the, you know, the world community, and we're doing something, and really what effect does it have? But Prabhupada in the sixth canto points out that people, the only people that are born into aristocratic families are those who have done devotional service. So if you think about it, there's a lot of aristocratic families that aren't necessarily, that we count as devotees, you know, that are come in contact, that are in the process of devotional service. That means anyone who is a little bit well situated, has some money, has a little bit of culture, and you might find millions of those people in this world. They're only in that position because they did some devotional service. They're not there because of something else. Right? The Naradama is also mentioned as that person who's done that devotional service and then gives it up, decides they don't want it and they reject it. Right? So therefore we see there's something interesting is going on here. There's things happening that we are not in control of. Generally, the tendency of the living entity is what he's in control of, he feels that is what's happening. And what he's not in control of is not happening. So this means there's a lot going on in the universe in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement that we're not in control of. And so therefore, we figure it's not happening. But actually, everything's being sustained by devotional service in this world. These systems of karma and that don't maintain the universe. The systems of gyan don't maintain the universe. Bhakti maintains the universe. The demigods that are in the seats of authority are all devotees. They may be neophyte devotees interested in, you know, their different positions and facilities and their sense enjoyment. But they're devotees. Right? We see Indra is always referred to as a devotee. The others are all devotees. It means you can't have a non-devotee manage the Lord's creation. It has to be a devotee. Therefore, what's happening is we're being given the opportunity to take part in the devotional service in this preaching mission and to be able to take part in assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in expanding this mission. But otherwise, even if we don't take part, it will go on. It will happen. It cannot be checked by us. That's the glory of this movement. Despite us, it will go on. Like that. So now we're being given the opportunity. Do we want to take part or not? It's not that I take part or I don't take part, and you know, it's like I'm the one who decides, you know, really what goes on or if things flourish or develop. No, it's going on. We're being given the opportunity. Do we want to join it or not? That's all. You want to join? Fine. You don't want to join? There's plenty of others who are, you know, not so interested also. You know, how you say, another, as Prabhupada told Guru Kripa, another face in the crowd. Like that. No problem. Like that. There's plenty of faces in the crowd, otherwise it wouldn't be called a crowd. So it's going on, and it's coming down through these four sampradayas, and even though there's differences of opinion, because their goals are different, it doesn't matter. Just because some want to go to Vaikuntha, some want to go to Dwarka or Ayodhya or Mathura or various aspects of Braja, it doesn't matter. These are all open. Different living entities have where they want to go. But it is, in any case, all the Krishna consciousness mission. So that fact is there. So the Krishna consciousness mission is not just Lord Brahma for us, but it's all the acharyas, it's Krishna. Krishna is the founder. Krishna is the one who started it. Krishna is the one who nourishes it, maintains it. This is the meaning of Vishvambaraya, is he nourishes the development of the Krishna consciousness of the individual and of the mission itself. So this is the quality for us of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Prabhupada is also pointing out that it goes down, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted his disciples to cooperate together, form a GBC, work together, spread the mission. But Prabhupada pointed out, unfortunately, you know, at least to this point, it hasn't happened. But they are all spreading the mission, you know, so the bona fide teachings are going on. But it's just unfortunate that the vision can't be such that one can understand the importance of the Krishna consciousness mission. At the same time, one has to also be very careful of the differences of mood and opinion. That is there. Because if you want to get to a certain place that's of value to you, then you must stick with those who are going to that place and can give you the directions to go there. Others who have different purposes, then you have to be, you know, one stays in like-minded company. That's natural. Everybody does that. I'm sure in this community, everybody has their particular circle of friends and, you know, activities that they are most comfortable in, that they are most intimate with, and they feel that they prosper the most in. But at the same time, as they have the ability to, move amongst the community of Vaishnavas, because that it's a common standard, common principle, that everybody is trying to please Krishna, develop their love for Krishna. So, in any case, the purpose of this mission is to save the living entities from all this so-called Krishna consciousness that is being presented in this world. So many people are presenting something. They take some ritual, some mantra, some aspect of the philosophy or some science, and either make it up or present it that this is something nice, you should do this. But for their own purposes, you know, to make money, to get followers, you know, in other words, dhanam janam sundarim, if they're a little bit subtle, or, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending if they're not so subtle. So these aspects, then the Krishna conscious movement is to save the living entities from. Otherwise, it creates a very difficult situation. Any questions on this? Yes. No, not necessarily. See, it's what one has to remember is that Krishna points out in the Gita that if one is not so fixed in his Krishna consciousness when he leaves the body, then generally he goes to the heavenly planets. So if he has enough qualities, enough piety, or an ability, you know, like that, then he may be given, rather than just being a citizen of the heavenly planets, he may get the position in the heavenly planet. It means you have a ruler of the planet, like Varuna will rule his place, or Indra will rule his, but he's not alone. It's full of citizenry. So the citizenry is those who are just performing the activities to get there, and that's all, to enjoy. Those who have done really great amounts of yajnas and sacrifice, then they may get positions. But you can only really get the positions if there's some devotion there. Something has to be there. like that, just even a little bit, because they have to recognize the authority of the Lord. Recognize, you don't have any demigods that don't recognize the authority of Vishnu. You just don't hear of it. There's no example of it. Asuras, yes, like that. If one wants heavenly pleasures but is not pious enough or doesn't acknowledge Vishnu, then generally what will happen is one will end up on the subterranean heavenly planets, because they're also very heavenly and they get into enjoyment. They have a good time. Like on Patal, you know, they're down there having their... We mentioned when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, the sound of it, the cracking of the rocks, was so great that it echoed through the whole universe. It first went up all the way up to Lord Brahma and broke his meditation. Then it went all the way down to Patal and disturbed the wine parties of the old ladies there. Like that. So, you know, they're all trying to have a good time. Like that. So the universe, actually, think about it, it's all going on according to what we're doing. So we're absorbed in what we're doing. So we look around us and say, hey, nobody's really, you know, we're a few obscure weirdos, you know, doing this Krishna consciousness stuff. But actually, all the whole planetary system is running on the Vedic culture. And half of the upper half is working on Krishna consciousness, though mild, you know. And the lower half is working on the Vedic culture very strictly. The demons are not so stupid to think that something other than the Vedic culture will actually give material prosperity and happiness, you know. They're serious about their, sense gratification. People on this planet aren't that serious. They can be easily distracted. You can just tell them, okay, do this, do that, run a commercial. They do it like that. They don't think about it. They're not very smart. But the demons, they're smart, right? It means Hiranyakashipu, he was the biggest demon. He's there in a dhoti. He knows a dhoti is much better than a pair of jeans. You know, he knows what's comfortable, what looks good, what feels good. You know, his women dress up in saris. He eats, you know, nicely cooked food prepared with spices like they do in India. He knows what's good, you know, good old down-home sense gratification, right? So, like that. And, you know, he's interested in gold, not pieces of paper with faces on them, right? You know, and that. And soft bed. He's not, you know, he's not going to go for it on the back seat of a car on a couch, you know. It's, you know, soft bed, you know, big soft bed. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. So he follows the Vedic culture. So, therefore, the whole universe is following the Vedic culture. On the Bhumandal, you have all the different rings, all the different islands. Except for this one, they all follow it. And then on this one, basically the center of it, India then follows, you know, to more or less a degree, and then it expands out from there. They're given the opportunity to not follow it. But you generally see if it works, it's because they're coming close to it, right? The businessmen have a saying, if it works, it's truth, right? Truth is what works, like that. They're, you know, very practical people. So the closer you come to God's law, the better it works. It works because it is following Krishna's law. Though they don't know the law, it's by karma, by their, you know, some they followed the law before, now they're getting the good reaction. They have the intelligence, so they get some facility or capital or something. So they're getting a result, but that's only because it's closer to the Vedic standard, that's all. And what's away from the Vedic standard doesn't work, right? I mean, the hippie culture didn't create a prosperous society. Right, the people on Wall Street, you know, still are making the economics happen. The people who run the banking, you know, they make it happen, right? That, so, like this, the administrators, they make it happen, you know, like that. Someone's pointing out to me that it's amazing. I think it was after. When was it? Yeah, I think it was after 9/11, then there was so much endeavor, right? So much intelligence, so much manpower, so much, you know, facilities, money was going into trying to, you know, create safety for the country, you know, protection and all these different things. And then somebody was looking at this in Europe And they said, this is so amazing that the American country, you know, country of America, is going to such degree, there's so many highly qualified, intelligent people that are working, you know, very, very hard to create an environment in which somebody who doesn't own, who doesn't do any work, lazy bum, can ride down the American highway on his chopped Harley with a smile on his face. Absolutely doesn't do anything for to benefit anybody. He said, this is so amazing that they're going to go to so much work just so this guy can do whatever he likes. You know, what's the purpose? They were saying, what's the purpose of the country, you know? So it was very, very interesting. So this is giving. Krishna gives it. This gives the freedom. This is, you know, because it's inherent in the living entity, so it must be there. But we find most in the universe, then, means of humans, they follow. And then of those who don't follow, then they make up the greater population of the universe, which is, you know, animals like that. Animals and other species of life. But devotional service is actually what is sustaining the universe. This is the interesting point. Sometimes we don't think of it on that universal kind of vision, but that's actually what goes on with that. Then you have of devotees, then those who are, you know, more attached to material facilities, so they'll be from Indra down, and then those who are less attached, and they'll be from the Prajapatis up. So the Satya, Jana, Tapa, Mahar, and Satya, those are for those who are not attached to material facility. And from Indra down, that's for those who are. You know, so therefore, those who are lean more towards Niskam or Sakam, Bhakti, then they'll go to these two realms. Does that make any sense? Or? Is that anything else? Or? Yes,
Maharaj, when I read this purport, I was a little surprised at Srila Prabhupada's mood. Usually, when he speaks of other devotional sects, it's in a lot more stronger terms. He was very gentle and open and loving and appreciating that different people who might have different opinions are making some valuable contribution. So usually he doesn't speak like that. Usually he points out the defect and snatches them. Mm-hmm. And warns us to watch out for deviation. So.
Huh. Yeah, it's like it depends upon where you're getting to. It means what is the purpose of the point. Just like when Prabhupada is making the point, there's purports, I think it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I'm not sure where, or in Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada's pointing out the greatness of India, how it's created great thinkers and great personalities like that. And so then when he's talking about this, then he is, you know, Ram, Krishna, and Vivekananda are included in the list because they were influential. People follow them. So people think of them as great thinkers. Then when we get down to India, then he points out within India, then there are those who are, you know, the bona fide followers of the scriptures and those who are not. So then out goes Vivekananda and Ram, Krishna, but Shankaracharya is one of the authorities then. Then when he talks about within the scriptures, then the proper thing is Vaishnava Siddhanta. Shankara goes out, and then you're left with the four sampradayas. Then when you talk about for in this age and that, and especially for developing Braja Bhakti, then he talks about the Madhva Sampradaya, and of that, then the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Within that, then the followers of Rupa, then the followers of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then within that, those who actually follow Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions. Like that. So it just depends upon what is the how you're presenting. So he's presenting that the Krishna consciousness movement is not something sectarian. It's something that it's a universal activity or a universal principle. Like that. So, but we see is that when you want to get into detail, then he's very specific, like that, you know. So then it accommodates because they are. It means others are benefiting somebody. Let us say you go down to the welfare office and there's somebody there who's talking with someone who has, you know, has had a very difficult situation, you know, some trauma in their life. They're trying to help them. And it is a benefit in that they are, bringing the living entity from a self-centered position to a broader, a higher level, you know, from anamoy up to pranamoy, or from the sensual platform to an emotional platform, because people who have these traumas, the tendency is they close down their emotions. So then if they close down their emotions, that means then they'll get into very serious sense gratification, if not sinful. So it is a benefit. They start to see others, they're more open. It's a benefit for the living entity. But if you're looking at it as ultimate benefit, no. Because unless you give Krishna, they're benefited today, but later or next lifetime, then they'll go down again. So there's been no serious benefit. You know, just like Krishna says, surrender to me this moment, that's best. If you can't do that, then follow sadhana bhakti. If you can't do that, then take up serving me. So that means the nishkam karma yoga, or the varnashram in the detached way, you know, from the madhyama platform. If you can't do that, then you give the results of your work to me, right? That will be where it's more of one's own desire mixed in the process of devotional service in varnashram. Then he says, if you can't do that, then just be a nice guy. Give in charity, open hospitals, and do all that. Because at least then it creates an environment in which those who are devotees could progress, or others who are not devotees could be open to devotional service. Because a pious person generally is open. It means four kinds of pious people surrender, right? Four kinds of impious don't. So at least it creates an atmosphere in which maybe, if you're lucky, someone might come in contact with Krishna consciousness. He says, if you can't do that, then be an impersonalist. You know, then okay, that's better than just being somebody who doesn't even follow the scriptures. Like that. So it's does that make some sense? So as we're bringing it close, then it'll be something. So within this, then he'll say, what they're saying is nice, the other branches of our line, but they don't have a machine. Right? They don't have a good machine. And anybody who is getting any effect from this machinery, their machinery is working to some degree. It is working because it's coming closer to what Prabhupada established. In fact, generally they're using Prabhupada's trained people. On themselves, doing it with their own local boys, no one's gone anywhere other than on a train around Bengal or maybe to the other side of India. And that's a fact. Anyone's expanding beyond, they're doing it with Prabhupada's men, with Prabhupada's process. But the difficulty is because they're not taking the complete process, it's not in line with what Saraswati Thakur wanted. Therefore, it does fail. Right? Because they still follow their system of one acharya to the next.